I was going to read two lengthy portions of Scripture tonight, one in Romans chapter 8, another in Galatians, but I will just quote the main verse that I'd like for us to consider tonight in way of introduction. And so let's begin tonight with a word of prayer, and then we will press on tonight, all righty. Matter of fact, you might want to turn to the book of Galatians, because that will be some of the texts that we will look at here a little bit later on in chapter number 5. But let's go, Lord, in prayer as we begin. Father, thank you tonight. We've had the privilege and the pleasure one with another to sing praises to your name. And Lord, how we thank you that all can be well with our soul in Christ. Lord, we thank you that we have this wondrous, wondrous privilege of being able to walk with you, to come through the door, to walk on the path, to have the light of God shine upon us. And Lord, I pray tonight that you might help us to understand some really very critical truth as we come to the Word of God once again. Lord, we pray that you would just teach us and that we might go from here more aware of how to follow your leadership. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. I've actually entitled this tonight, Understanding the Leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. One of the things that we find as we study Scripture is that the only people that can be led of the Spirit are God's children. Book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We cannot have the Spirit of God leading us if we're, first of all, not a child of God. So we are basically on our own until we come to that relationship with Him. And then we find also that God's children can overcome the flesh. Now, you and I, we are a dichotomy after we get saved. We have the old flesh. We have that which leads us and directs us from the moment we're born to this world until the time we're saved. And it has a powerful influence in our lives. And yet we can overcome those fleshly desires through walking in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, and if you're there, you notice this verse. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." And here's a great promise, "Ye shall not, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When that gripped my soul some time ago, as I looked at that, I thought, my goodness, there is victory in Christ. The songwriter was right. And I can have victory over the flesh. But there's a question that arises, I believe, many times in our minds and our hearts, and that is, how can I tell the difference between the leadership of the flesh and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God? I believe there's some direction here. I believe there's some things that we can look at that will help us in discovering that. The leadership of the Spirit of God and the leadership of the flesh. And I'm going to divide it up and come at it from two different directions. First of all, our actions. And then I'm going to look at our reactions. How can we tell whether it's the leadership of the Spirit of God or if it's really our flesh at work in our lives? I want us to think, first of all, when I use the word action, that by that I mean not only what we do, but what we think. But not only what we think, but who we are. So it's not just a matter of the things we do. We're talking about the thoughts in our minds and the very person that we are, that new man, that individual that lies within us. So we look at our actions here. We think about this. And as we consider, how can I tell the leadership of the Spirit of God? I believe one of the things that will be a determining factor is the real goal of our action for accomplishment, or is it for Christ? Is it for accomplishment, or is it for Christ? Let me take you to the book of Philippians for just a moment, chapter number 3 and verse number 8. It says this, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung." He goes on to say that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which of the faith, which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. Notice he first of all says, I might be found in Him. And then he says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. As we think about our life, as we think about God leading us in our life, is what we are looking at, is it for our accomplishment or is it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it for His glory or is it for our glory? So oftentimes, really, quite frankly, it is for our own glory. And we have to decide that. We have to determine that and allow the Spirit of God to lead us in this thing. I believe there's something else that's very evident from this chapter, and that is that you can know a tree by the fruit that is upon it. And we find here that God differentiates. We find in verse number 17 down to verse number 21, He talks about the works of the flesh. Now, it's interesting, He uses works here. And when we get to verse number 22, He talks about fruit. That's interesting. We'll try to decipher that in just a moment. But as we notice here, the works of the flesh, I would divide these into four groups. And those four groups, one would be the sensual things of the flesh. They would include adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I believe they're fairly self-explanatory. There are those things which are the work of the flesh in the spiritual world. And we look at the two that are called idolatry and witchcraft. We then look at the ones that are perhaps the most difficult, and I would label them selfish. And we find here that these are basically in our relationships one with another. And he talks about hatred and variance and emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. That's an interesting one. It's not talking about our belief system being off kilter. It's talking about our belief in individuals, actually, and envies. And all of these are words that are referring to our relationships with others. And so the works of the flesh are generally in the selfish, or they are in the selfish nature. And then we find the social sins, and they are murder and drunkenness and revelings, and then he just tacks on there and such like. In other words, things of this same nature, like drunkenness and revelings and so forth. But then we find here that God goes into verse 22 and 23, and He says here are the fruit of the Spirit. How can we differentiate? How can we know? Well, God is working some things in our lives. And it's not talking about works here, it's talking about fruit. So we're not talking about deeds here, we're talking about that which is inward. Fruit is something that is produced through you from the soil. The soil, I believe, is a picture of God. He's the one from whom we get our nutrients. He's the one that produces this because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you and I can produce. Works we can do. But fruit is something that comes from the Lord. And so when we begin to have a love in our hearts, a love that's unusually different than we ever knew before. It's not for our own self-interest. Matter of fact, it's a love that goes so far that it even is toward our enemies. That is of God. That is something God is working and He's leading and directing us in. As we looked at in Sunday school this morning with Jonah, Jonah did not have a love for the Ninevites. It was not God's love. And so Jonah went the wrong way because he followed his own selfish desires, rather than to follow the fruit of the Spirit, as we find here, and have the love of God in his soul. We find the word joy. I love the word joy. I love it more than happiness, because happiness, and I look at happiness as that which circumstances bring. Joy is that which comes from within. Joy is that which God gives us. And it's in face of no matter what is out there, no matter what trial you're facing, no matter what persecution, no matter what problem you are in the midst of, there can be the joy of God. Amen. That's a wondrous, wonderful thing to have. And to allow that to be in our lives. He talks about peace. Peace in the midst of disputes. Peace in the midst of problems. That wondrous peace, excuse me, that only God can give. The word long-suffering. Well, a lot of times we substitute the word patience, but I often remind people the word long-suffering means that we're suffering long with you, you know, if we're having patience for you. And certainly it is to those especially that oppose us. That's an interesting thing. We must deal in that sort of form. And so if God is working that in your life through a situation, then He must be leading and giving you that kind of patience. He's the one that allows you to have the gentleness, that gentleness that the new nature can express rather than the harshness. He's the one that can bring about goodness in your heart because it's directed not to us but away from us. And we have that desire to just do good in the light of other folks. And in faith, I look at that when I've often thought we have to have faith in order to be saved, and that be true. But one of the fruits of the Spirit of God is He's going to give us even a stronger belief in God. He's going to give us that strength to really believe Him in those crisis times. That is a fruit of the Spirit. Have you met with some big obstacle and yet you believe God through it? That's the fruit of the Spirit. And He's allowing you to take you through that. And He's directing in your life through that meekness. Meekness. What a tremendous word. Turmoil is departed when you and I have that mildness of manner and it comes over us. And we can allow God to do that in our lives. Then the word temperance, where we have our appetites under control. Some people like to use the word self-control, but I think it's really spirit control because He's the one that can do that. So as we look at how do we know the leadership of the Spirit of God, well, He's going to be working these kinds of fruits through it. And He's going to be leading in this kind of way. And He is, I believe, is going to be leading us to bring glory to Himself, not unto ourselves. Something that I've looked at and thought about a great deal. When we're walking in the Spirit of God, there's something that's going to be so normal and so much a part of us, and that is a thing of prayer. Have you noticed that when you get backslid, one of the first things you quit doing is praying? Have you noticed you just quit talking to God? And you don't have that. And I'm talking about not only private, but public prayer. Sometimes I use for the word public, corporate, where we all get together. And prayer, whether it be private or public, man, it's going to be often and automatic. We just enjoy that time, one with another. We enjoy that time with the Lord. And skipping either is obnoxious to the Spirit-led Christian. We enjoy that particular thing. What a blessing it was as the men gathered tonight, and we just, you know, we rehearsed some things, and Chad's been leading our men in that, and sharing with us what he thought we ought to pray about tonight, and so we divided up into a few groups, four as a matter of fact, and just began to pray and ask God to work in those things. What a pleasure that is to pray with God's people. What a wondrous thing. And it comes so naturally when we are being led of the Spirit. I find something else, and that is that my Bible is just, it's there and I'm reading it. And I'm getting something from it. I'm meditating upon it. And those words, they just kind of, they filter back and forth throughout the day. And the thoughts of those things, they're there and they're there. And I think about them and I turn upon them. I'm like the old cow that chews the cud. You know what I'm saying? And this is a horrible picture to look at, Q, but really when a cow chews the cud, she swallowed down to her first stomach and she throws it up into her mouth and starts chewing it again. And I don't think it has all the digestive juices if you and I do that, but she's just chewing on that and thinking about that. I read an article just recently by a city boy that was referring to that and talking about that. And he says, I don't know anything about cows, but he says, I think I understand that one. And I thought he had a very good thought with that. But Bible reading, meditation, it's no longer a chore. It's a longing. It's a desire. It's something that we really wish and want. How can we understand the leadership of God in our lives, the Spirit of God? Well, some of those things are those things, not some of them. Those things are going to be taken in our place, taking place in our lives. But not only our actions, I use this word reactions. You and I live in a world whereby we are meeting up with other people. Some of them are God's people, some of them are the world's people. So there's God's children and there's the Satan's children. And no matter where we go, we find that there's conflicts. We find that there's, you know, we don't agree on things. We find that there's things that some folks do that just drive us nuts. You ever had any of that?
Yeah. I saw a guy the other day. I don't know if I said this in church or not. I was actually going to the courthouse, and on my way to the courthouse, I saw this guy coming down off the South Freeway and coming onto 6th Street, and there was an old lady right in front of him, and she was going a little bit slow. Now, she was, you know, most everybody, they were coming, it was a big crowd of cars coming off. And I mean, almost all the cars, they were, you know, about two car lengths, you know. I mean, it was on bumper, behind bumper, you know. And if I'd wanted to step in between, I'd been dead just like that. But here they come off the freeway. And this lady, and she's an elderly lady. I saw the, you know, the wheelchair sticker. I mean, she's got the handicap sticker and her thing. And she's coming off, and actually she's following the law. She's about four, five car lengths behind the car in front of her. And this guy behind her, he is just roaring mad. I mean, I can hear him. He is cussing, he's swearing at her, telling her to get off the road and everything else. And I noticed when she got up to where they were going, she was right up against the bumper, just like the people in the other lane were. He was right behind her. And you know what? If he had been around her, he'd only been 20 feet closer than where he was at then. His reactions, they just were not very good. All right. You've heard of road rage, haven't you? Yeah. Our reactions. There is no place in our Christian walk where we need the leadership of God more than our reactions to other people. Their words and their ways. How we react is very, very important. Especially when we feel threatened. The leadership of the Spirit will not take us when we feel threatened into self-defense. Are you listening? So we have perhaps an accusation against ourselves, and when we're led of the Spirit of God, it's not, I'm going to, you know, defend myself. Matter of fact, when we're being led of the Spirit of God, we understand that maybe God is using that individual to teach us something. Did you know this? That somebody else might be out of the will of God in what they do or say to you, but they're not out of the will of God, or you're not out of the will of God, or they're not out of the will of God for you. Do you follow the difference? They might be out of the will of God for them, but not necessarily for you. God wants to use those things in our lives to mold us and to make us. And how we react is very important, because the Spirit of God wants to teach us some things. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Do you know, I don't believe it's a matter of what Jesus would do. It's allowing the Spirit to direct us as Jesus did. He allowed the Spirit of God to direct Him. And the Spirit of God is always going to lead in the direction of exalting Christ, not ourselves. Let me give you an illustration. Let's assume tonight you have an accusation leveled against you. Spirit leadership will not cause us to rise up in defense and have an argument with somebody, but we're going to seek Him to find out what it is God wants us to understand here, what it is that God wants to teach us in this situation, and how He can get the glory out of this situation. I want you to listen to this verse, because I never thought of it in this light before. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "That ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." And we often think of that in the physical sense. But when somebody smites us, we need to let God show us what it is that He wants to show us from it. Rather than retaliating, because that always causes us problems, doesn't it? Our reactions become very important. And how we allow the Spirit of God, we need to understand how He wants to lead us in those times. Reactions are very important. Oftentimes, in any situation, we can get angry so quickly. Is anger of the God? Well, we can be angry at sin, but anger is not what God wants us to be. To be, you know, all upset and frustrated and all those things, I don't believe God wants those in our lives. And so when we allow the Spirit to direct us, no matter what the situation, my goodness, He can take us through it. He can take us through it. I have felt so free when I have this mindset. And it is, whatever comes, God has allowed for a purpose. Whether it be in your life or mine. And sometimes I look at God's people and they're going through some struggles or a situation or this or that, and I'm thinking to myself, God has a reason. Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to them that love God. Many years ago, Brother Al Wells called me up and he said, "Gene, boy, I need your prayers." His wife was very sick. She was in need of some certain kind of medical attention. He had talked to his daughter, who was a nurse. She lived down in Alabama. I can't remember the name of the town she lives in. It's north of where my son lives. And she said, "Dad, there is a hospital here that's just a few miles from my house. They can take care of her exactly what she needs at this present time." And of course, he's sitting in Denver. I mean, Denver's got some great things. And he looked around and he couldn't find that. But he didn't know how to get her there. And he was really in turmoil. And what he found out was that he could have her taken by airplane to Alabama for $8,000. Now, many of you know that he and I were good friends for many years. There was one problem that Al always had. And what a great man. I just appreciate him so much. But he always struggled with finances and worried about it constantly. He would many times say something to me. We'd talk on the phone. He said, "Man, pray for me on this." And at this time, this was such a struggle. He didn't know what to do. And he said, "Gene, I know Romans 8:28 is true, but I'm having a hard time accepting it." He said, "I know it says all things work together for good, but I just can't see how this is working. I don't see it. Would you pray for me?" As most of you know, of course, she went down there. She did get somewhat better, came back up to Denver. And in the end, she passed away. 5 years before his own death. Do you know what happened from that? The last 5 years of his life, he never one time ever said anything about finances. Matter of fact, he told me once, he said, "I don't worry about him anymore." God had taken that one instant and showed himself so real to him that he saw what God was up to. And it built him. All things do work together for good. God has His hand in these things. And we don't always see it. We don't always understand it. Boy, through the years, I've not understood a lot of things. You know, I've wondered why. Somebody said today, "Why is it Mary and Q both at the same time are down?" 1995, my wife and I experienced the same thing. You might remember that. You know, it's not for us to question why. God has purpose in it. God has reasons for it. And you know what? We may never know the reason. Faith is just believing what God said. Taking Him at His word. So many times God has shown me what His purpose was, but there have been times He hasn't. I guess I won't know till heaven. Most of those I've forgotten about. And what a glorious, wonderful God we have. See, He wants to lead us by His Spirit, through His Word. And there's all sorts of things that are in our lives. We need to weigh it against the Word of God. We need to understand that there are some things here. When the Spirit of God's working, He wants to allow those fruits to shine forth. He wants that in our lives. I mean, there's some things that are just going to happen. I mean, we're walking in the Spirit of God. We're going to pray more. The Word of God's going to be wondrous in our lives. Our reactions are going to be totally different. You know, boy, that's a wonderful thing. Most of us are kind of hotheads, you know. And oh, how the Spirit of God helps us to recognize and understand, hey, it's up to Him. And so we put our trust and reliance upon Him and allow Him to take us through those things and to share those things with us. Because frankly, brethren, it's not about us anyway. It's about Him. He getting the glory. He getting the glory for whatever it is. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Father, thank You for this evening. I thank You for the leadership of the Spirit. And Lord, I know this is a difficult thing for us to learn and to understand. Lord, I hope some of this makes some sense. I hope some of this is that which You can use in their lives. I believe You directed me in it. And Lord, I pray that as we go from day to day, we may be allowing You and Your leadership. Lord, You're so good. You're so wondrous in doing these things. And Father, I pray that You would just have the glory of our lives. Lord, when we fail You, remind us quickly. Help us, oh God, to see it quickly that we might be back instead with You. Lord, that we might be on that path, walking arm in arm with You. I pray, God, You might work in our hearts tonight. Father, I don't know the needs of people here. No doubt somebody here needs saved. No doubt somebody here needs to confess some sin. No doubt there's these kinds of things. But God, You know what's needed in each heart. And so I pray, Lord, that You would just undertake in this time of invitation and to be glorified through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to ask you to stand, ask Christina to play tonight. If God is tugging your heart, you know, let Him do it. Follow His leadership. Maybe you got something you need just take care of with Him while she's playing tonight.